setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you figure out what you were born to do and then do it to the best of your ability. Purpose and peak performance are the goals for you. This show's about you because you were created to work. You were created to fill a unique role in your work, purposeful work, so that the paycheck, of course, is there. We all need provision, but we all long for purpose. You were created to fill a unique role. You are needed. You must do it. We want to help you figure out what that unique role is. There's multiple, by the way, within that sweet spot where you're using what you do best, talent, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter to you, mission. So welcome aboard. It's a free phone call. The show is dedicated to you, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. We'll get to the phones. And a little bit later, we got a very interesting update for those of you who are friends, family members of folks who have retired, or maybe you are a retiree, early retiree, and you're going, I'm thinking about a encore. Or you're currently working, thinking about cashing in, but then ultimately taking on a new career. Very interesting data. We'll share that with you later in the program as well. But first, how do you quit like a pro? We get a lot of calls on this program about, hey, Ken, I know it's time for me to move on. I know what I want to move on to, my stressor, my tension. I need help because I don't want to leave the wrong way. I don't want to leave a sour taste in their mouth. Now, this is coming, by the way, from a very healthy person, a person who cares, who's classy, who wants to do the right thing. And I love this. And so I want to address it. There's a few things you can do to quit like a pro, because this is about you and your conscience. It's not about what they think and say, because you cannot control what they think or say. So as I go through these couple of quick things here, don't assume that if you do it this way, that no one will say anything negative about you, no one will think anything negative about you at your old company when you leave them. There's no guarantee of that. You cannot control that. So this is about how you view yourself, how your conscience feels, because you did the right thing. If you do that, well, then we don't worry about the other things. We can't. Can't control it. So first, communicate to your leader. A pro communicates to their leader. They don't ghost them. They don't send them a wimpy, non-confrontational email and never show up again. They sit down face to face, and they tell their leader, the time has come for me to move on. Now, you don't have to tell them a whole bunch. You don't have to right wrongs in this moment. No, just, hey, it's time for me to move on. Take the high road. They ask you questions, be honest, but again, take the high road. But the idea here is not airing grievances. The idea here is we're going to communicate like a pro, like an adult, a healthy adult. I'm going to say, hey, here's my resignation letter. It's time for me to move on. Appreciate everything, whatever, whatever, whatever. So look at them in the eye and then hand in the resignation letter. Be classy, be a pro. Number two, exit well. Prepare your exit. You exit well by preparing. What does that mean? How about setting the company up? How about helping your replacement win? That's what I'm talking about. This could look like a million different things. Could be you wrapping up the loose ends so that when the new person comes in, there's no loose ends, so that your leader doesn't have to deal with that either. It could be putting a spreadsheet together that allows your leader to train the new person better, or the new person to start better, faster, whatever this looks like. This is effectively passing the baton well. You know, I love the Olympic events, and one of my favorite is the 4x100 meter relay, whether it's the women or the men. I love it. It's a fantastic event. And you know what's interesting about the baton in those relay races? That no matter how strong the particular leg is run, if they don't pass the baton well, they could lose the race. That baton pass is just as important as the actual leg itself. And that's what I'm talking about. Pass the baton well to your leader, the company, and to your replacement by finishing and executing well and thinking about the transition itself. Aid the transition. That's what I mean. The third thing I want you to do is just finish strong. Last day, last minute, work all the way up to the last minute. Don't get senioritis. We've all fallen prey to that, right? It's very simple. These high school seniors, you know, they realize, hey, I've already accepted to the college I want to go to. My GPA is pretty much locked in. I can't focus. That's very normal, very human. But a pro finishes well, shows up, and gives everything they've got until the day they walk out of the office. So communicate to your leader, prepare the transition, and finish strong. Those three things, if you do those three things, here's what I know. You will quit like a pro. So why do I tell you that this is so important? Because I think there are a lot of people out there who go, you know what, I'm done with this company. It wasn't a great experience. Or even if it was a good experience, I'm done. I don't like confrontation. I think I'd rather just email them a letter and not show up. This is ghosting. Stop with the ghosting. Can we stop with it? Because we think that it's not going to come back to haunt us. And I think it will. Every time? No, I can't say with certainty that that will happen. But this world is big, but it's also small, isn't it? And why would you ever ghost somebody or burn a bridge or blow the bridge up and walk out, drop the mic, just because it feels good, with the risk knowing that that could, you never know where that could come back to haunt you down the road? Now, I'll tie this up with the warning I gave before I shared the tips. And that is, you can do all of these things and someone still throw you under the bus or say something bad about you because they're an unhealthy leader or they're an unhealthy coworker and they just don't know what else to do other than lob fiery darts of criticism at people. Makes them feel better. Can't control that. But this is about your conscience. And I don't know about you folks, but I would rather have a clear conscience than I would approval from everybody. Because number one, approval, you can't get approval from everybody. And number two, everybody's approval is never more important than my own conscience and doing what is right. Now, we live in a day and age where being in the majority is more important than doing what is right for a lot of people. They just go, I don't want to be criticized. I don't want to be on the outside. I don't want anybody to criticize me. So if everybody else is doing it, I'm going to do it. This is relativism. It's not a new concept, but I think it's more prevalent than ever before in the age of social media. So I give you all this to say, look, at the end of the day, there are two takeaways here. Number one, quitting like a pro is going to give you the best chance of leaving a good impression, but you can't control that. And number two, quitting like a pro is about you doing the right thing. And the more we do right, and we know in our conscience that we've done the right thing, we've acted with character and integrity, then that in and of itself is a muscle that builds, is going to serve us well. So do the right thing. Quit like a pro. All right, coming up next, we get to your calls and some great information about people rejoining the workforce. My friends at Bethel School of Technology have received the Best Value College Alternative Award by University Research and Review. They're one of only 15 institutions to receive this award because their online technology boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. And it's a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman and get an offer of $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Helping you make the money you want and experience the meaning that you desire. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm your counselor, coach, and cheerleader. Let's go. 844-747-2577. Phone lines are open. 844-747-2577. You can listen to the show, of course, on your talk radio station. SiriusXM, the podcast of the show, wherever you listen to podcasts, and on YouTube. So check us out, The Ken Coleman Show, all of those platforms, and follow me on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Just search The Ken Coleman Show or Ken Coleman on Instagram. All right, let's get to the phones, 844-747-2577. Lewis is in New York City, New York, the Big Apple, always fun there. Lewis, you're on The Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm living the dream, Lewis. What are you doing?
I'm living the dream.
Come on.
I'm a little nervous with what's going on in my career life.
All right, let's see if we can get you confident. All right, let's get confident. What's going on?
So long story short, I'm a recent college grad in 2019.
Okay.
And about 2 months ago, I accepted a new position with the company as an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
And about a week ago, about a week ago, I was approached by an old interviewer, an old recruiter from when I was previously interviewing for jobs. And she reached out to me and said that they had an offer that I wouldn't be able to refuse. They had originally rejected me for a position that I lacked experience in. They wanted 5 years of experience. I only had two, but now they have a new position for me that I'm more qualified for. So after meeting with them, this new opportunity is something that I honestly can't refuse. But I'm feeling a little bit of guilt for my new current employer. I don't know how to approach this. How do I leave on a high note? I'm just stuck.
Okay. I want you, in your words, to define, just give me your version of Webster's dictionary definition of guilt.
Honestly, part of me is just worried about what people will think of me.
No, you didn't answer my question. You didn't answer my question. I'm having some fun here. I know what you're worried about. I know what you're worried about. Okay. I opened the show with teaching on how to quit like a pro. Yeah. I want to know what you, give me your definition of the word guilt. If someone is guilty, give me a definition.
They did something that they shouldn't have done, I guess.
Yeah, fair. Okay. There's no right or wrong answer. This is it's your definition.
Yeah.
What are you guilty of if you take this better opportunity for you? What are you guilty of? What did you do wrong?
I guess, just coming in, this company's given me a chance. They hired me. They've been really good to me so far, and it's not like I don't hate the job. It's just that there's just a much better opportunity that came 2 months late.
Is it wrong for you to take a better opportunity?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to say it again.
I don't think so at all.
Okay, good. All right, you gave me that. You just think so. I want you using words like, no, there's nothing wrong with you taking a better opportunity. Let me ask you this. Are you a sports fan?
I am a sports fan, yeah.
Yeah, what's your favorite sport?
Football.
What's your favorite team?
Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins, all right.
Yeah.
If the Miami Dolphins hire another coach away from another team, and he'd only been there 1 year, 2 year, whatever, 3 years, it doesn't even matter how long he's been there, do you think that that guy is a jerk for leaving that other program where he made a bunch of money and they did a lot for him, gave him his first big chance and he earned it, and then he uses that opportunity to obviously grow his credibility, and the Dolphins come calling and they ask him to join the team and he says yes, and they're at the press conference. Are you watching that press conference going, man, what a big jerk he is for what he did to that other team?
No, I don't think I'd feel that unless I was impacted by that decision.
Yeah, but let's put it on the other shoe. The shoe on the other foot. So that team he left, did he do something wrong by taking the Miami Dolphins coaching job?
No, he just put them in a tough spot, I guess, right?
Did he?
I don't know.
Did he? Or isn't that part of the deal? In the sports world, coaches change seats. Okay. Have you heard of this term called the Great Resignation this year, where everybody's changing jobs? 4.7 million people, 4.8 million people, 8 million plus people over the last 2 months. Here's what I'm trying to get at. Yes, you've only been there a short amount of time. Yes, they gave you an opportunity. Yes, all those things are true. But this is a better opportunity, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
For your long-term goals. I know it's a better opportunity now. Is it a better opportunity for your long-term?
Yeah, because, I mean, I've already been shown, like, a career map, and I haven't even been hired yet.
Do you like the map?
At my current employer, I haven't even been shown a career map.
All right, so here's the point.
And growth is, like, my number one thing.
If I asked you if you would be willing to pass this opportunity up just so that they didn't say anything bad about you, what would you say? Your current company. If you pass this new offer up for the sole reason of not... Of the company you're with now not thinking anything bad about you or saying anything bad about you, would you pass it up for that?
No. I think I'd show up to work every day wondering if I made the right decision or not.
There's our answer. There's our answer, yeah. Lewis. Life is too short, man.
Yeah.
Look, no, be classy. Did you hear the opening of today's show?
I did. Yeah. No, actually.
So, dude, really, I mean, I had no clue you were calling in today. That teaching was for you. Quit like a pro. They're probably not going to be happy about it, but this is not about how happy they are. This is about your life and what you're supposed to do, and this is just the deal. It's part of it.
Yeah.
So get over it.
Definitely.
You get me?
Okay.
Hey,
yeah,
eyes forward. Eyes forward.
Okay.
You ever watch the show or the movie Friday Night Lights, Lewis? You're a young guy, I'm guessing. You've probably not seen the show. All right. You remember the phrase? Remember the phrase of the Dillon Panthers? Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Yeah.
That's your theme.
Yeah.
Clear eyes on the future, full heart for the gratitude that you have for the current company that gave you a shot, gratitude for this new opportunity where they've given you a map. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. There's your theme. Folks, I tell you what, if I can't work in Friday Night Lights to every show, then I got a problem because it's the greatest show of all time, and that just came to me. But Joe, you remember when that show first came out?
Yes, I do.
Joe was on the board at the very first version of the Ken Coleman Show, Local Radio, and I did a segment one time on that whole phrase, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose, and I broke it down. And I'm going to do it right now. I'm just going to, I got a minute and a half. I'm going to break it down for you folks. Whether you've seen the show or not, this phrase, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. What does that mean? All right, clear eyes. That's everything I preach on this show. Get clear. It's stage one of the seven stages. Get clear. What's my mountaintop? What's my professional purpose? What's the role I'm supposed to fill in the workplace? What's that dream job? That's getting clear. It's what we teach. When I have clear eyes, I have absolute, total focus. I'm clear on who I am, why I'm here, what I'm supposed to do. That's clear eyes. Full hearts. Now, this is the fun part of that phrase. Full hearts. What does that mean? Gratitude. Grateful that I know who I am, what I'm supposed to do, and why I'm supposed to do it. Grateful for the opportunity to pursue it. Grateful for the opportunity to compete. Grateful for the opportunity to do something that matters deeply to me. My heart is full. Clear eyes, full hearts. And then the payoff, can't lose. Why? Because a man or a woman who is clear on their purpose and grateful for the opportunity to pursue that purpose, no matter what life throws at them, here's what I know. No matter how many zeros they have in their bank account, no matter how many people know their name, no matter how many promotions they got, no matter what happened, they can get to the end of their journey and look back and say, I lived well. I didn't lose. I made my unique contribution to the best of my ability, despite all the things that life threw at me. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. How about that for a little Friday Night Lights application? You don't get that anywhere else. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you discover and do what you were born to do at a very high level, a level where money and meaning are both there. Oh, yeah. Income and impact. Work doesn't have to be a four-letter word. It can actually be extremely rewarding. We're going to help you do that here on The Ken Coleman Show. I'm your counselor, coach, and cheerleader. Let's go. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Beyond the free resources at kencoleman.com, the paid resources in our store at kencoleman.com, including the latest best-selling book, From Paycheck to Purpose. We also have relationships that we bring to you. Recommendations that I and my team have vetted because we go, you know, this can help you. And ZipRecruiter is one of those. One of the biggest barriers for people stepping out looking for something new is the pain of hearing nothing at all, being rejected constantly, feeling like you're not getting any interviews, or when you do, you don't get any feedback. ZipRecruiter is the number one hiring site in the United States. And their technology is easy and free for you. The companies are paying them, so this is a free service. It takes you less than 5 minutes to fill out a profile at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. When you do, they immediately begin shopping you, promoting you, recruiting on your behalf, matching your profile and resume up to companies with positions that make sense. You get updates when they look at you, when companies look, when they like your profile, and they ask for your information, and ZipRecruiter puts the company directly in touch with you. It's the easiest, best way to get hired. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Add it to everything else that I teach you, and it's a free resource. I don't know why you wouldn't try it. So go, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All right, so I saw this this interesting new study, and this is affecting those of you who are thinking about retiring, but you don't want to be done. Those of you who did retire, or maybe those of you that are listening, you've got friends and family members who retired, and you've heard them say, you know what, I kind of want to get back in. I wonder if I'm too old. Am I relevant? Let's get to this in the news. This article that I'm citing is from CNBC. Retirees are unretiring, and that's good for the labor market. That's the headline. And I agree wholeheartedly. Early retirements among older Americans were among the many labor factors that COVID created. A lot of people said, I've got health concerns. Things are a little too crazy, a little too uncertain. I'm checking out. I'm retiring early. That's what happened. But are those retirements permanent? The data says not necessarily. We'll go backwards 3 months. October 2021, the unretirement rate. So these are people that are unretiring, coming back into the workforce, having previously retired, was 2.6%. That's up from 2.5% in September and 2.4% in August. So there's clearly an upward trend of men and women that have retired and they're coming back. Okay. So what does that say? It says that there are jobs, and not only just jobs, we know that. Companies are hiring older workers. No brainer in my mind. I was on Fox News and they asked me this question. Would you, as a leader, hire senior citizens, people in their 60s or older, if they've got the talent? I said, absolutely I would. And here's why. Not only do you still have talent, those talents are absolutely relevant. You can always shine those, hone those. A lot of companies will train you on the job anyway. But your talent is as relevant as ever. And even more important, can I just say, is experience. Now, this is just me. But if I'm a leader and I'm interviewing two candidates and I've got it down to two finalists, for example purposes, one is 62, one is 42. Equal talent, equal character, equal personality traits, culture fit, they're equal. And I've got to decide, I'm taking the 62-year-old with more experience, because that 20 years of experience to me is invaluable. If they're equal on everything else, and I'm just making a point here that experience is valuable, and not just in the technical nature of the work. Listen to me, leaders, and those of you who are seniors, you're thinking about how to sell yourself. You know what you bring to the table with that experience? You're a great locker room fit. Now, I'm a big sports guy, but you hear about, there's a lot of stars that go onto a team and they screw the locker room up. And there are a lot of stars that come in and they bolster a locker room. You hear coaches talk about this, general managers talk about this stuff all the time. If I'm a leader and I got a great character, culture fit, and that experience to boot, I'm not blinking twice at the 62-year-old. And one more point on this. Why would you be worried about the 62-year-old over the 42-year-old? There's no guarantee the 42-year-old's not going to drop dead tomorrow. So just because the 62-year-old is closer to 70, get over it, leaders. I'm taking the person that helps me win and the intangibles of experience and that locker room and that culture fit all day, every day. All day, every day. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Claire in St. Louis, Missouri. Claire, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Claire. What's going on with you?
Okay, so I think I'm clear on what I want to do. I've been reading your Paycheck to Purpose.
Good.
And I'm on chapter 2 right now.
Yay!
There's a phrase on there that says, you matter and your work matters. Yes. And I'm getting I've been jumping from job to job for 10 years, and I'm getting burnt out, and I feel like it's time to grow up.
Mm.
It's time to really get the career God wants me to do, and I think he wants me to open up a coffee house.
That's awesome.
Because I love the atmosphere. I love how no matter what a person's going through, they can just come and relax for 5 minutes to 2 hours. It doesn't matter.
Like, yeah.
Hmm. And I found out through my church, they have a coffee house where we can volunteer and get experience. So I guess my question is, how do I go from this idea to opening my own business? Like, yeah. I have some college experience, but not much at all.
No, listen, and there's nothing you can learn in college that's going to make you a successful coffee shop operator. Nothing. So go ahead and just let's expel that idea. You don't need to go to college to be successful running a coffee shop. You're already on your way. I think you're a third of the way there. I think there's three major acts, right? Let's in your story, in this play. Act one is you getting involved in your church coffee shop and volunteering, and not just volunteering and serving and doing all the things. I mean volunteering on every functional job in that coffee shop, and even asking the church if they'll teach you and show you the books, teach you how to close out the books. And they say, why do you want to know that? You say, I would really love to own my own coffee shop one day, but I'm not there yet. I want to learn every piece of this inventory, everything.
Okay.
Now listen, you volunteer there for a while, and then I want you to transition into working for a coffee shop where they're paying you. That's the next step. That's act two. Now you're getting paid to learn how to run the business. And I would love for you to work your way up into a managerial role where you're leading.
Okay.
You're leading the team. And you're at that point in time when you're the manager on duty, you're running the business. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. That's awesome.
All right. Now, the third act is to slowly move into some type of coffee business. I don't necessarily want you to jump right into a coffee shop because there's a lot of capital outlay, a lot of money that's got to be invested into that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Not really.
Well, sure you do, because you're going to learn all this. Because you're going to, when you go to work for a coffee shop, you're going to ask the owner what they pay a month in rent. And how much it costs extra. You see what I'm saying? So we're going to ease into this. So what I mean by easing into this is now you're in the coffee business for a while and you're working and you're enjoying the work. It's absolutely on mission for you. The only thing that's missing is you don't own it. But you're going to learn how to own it. And I want you to do a coffee truck or a coffee cart or something small and then work your way up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you discover what you were born to do and do it to the best that you can possibly do it. We're talking about greatness in your uniqueness. Let's go to Carol, who joins us now in Bakersfield, California. Carol, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you doing today?
I'm living the dream, Carol. What's going on with you?
So my question is definitely about whether I should stay at my company or not. Mm-hmm. I definitely love the work that I do. I work in sales, and it's a great atmosphere, and I feel like if I'm really good at it. But they just recently did a nationwide slash on commissions, which is how I get paid. And I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around working and being so great at what I do while accepting that pay cut. I'm not sure if I should just start looking for something else, because it does seem like if that's just going to be the system that they keep, or if I should try to make it work where I'm at.
Well, let's just break this down. All right, let's just look at first the financial impact. What's that going to do to you financially? I mean, how does that affect you, your budget, month in, month out?
So I could definitely make it work with what they're currently paying. I think it's just that I was used to being able to do more for my family. And the fact that I do put so much into my work, and that I think it was more of a profit move for the company.
Just of course it is.
Doesn't sit well with
me. It shouldn't sit well. That leads to my next question. You just answered it. What's the psychological impact on you? It's terrible.
I probably think that's the biggest impact I've seen so far.
It absolutely is. Welcome, Carol. Nothing wrong with you. You're absolutely perfectly normal.
That's good.
And listen to me. It's not going to get better. Like, that's
right.
Not something that you just all of a sudden one day you go, I'm fine with it. No, you may overcome it, and you certainly can overcome it. And financially, it's not going to put you in hardship. It's not going to squeeze you too much. You can make it work. But here's my final question. Is that company the only place where you can do that kind of work that you love and make the kind of money you used to make?
No. I will say that I've been in the industry that I'm in, which is sales, for over 20 years. So I definitely know I can take my skill set somewhere else.
I know.
I think
it's time.
I just don't know if I should.
Why?
I'm going back and forth.
Let's flip it. Tell me the reasons, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but I want to know. I want to shed some light on what you're telling me are reasons why you wouldn't leave.
So our local team is a great team. I really enjoy working with our local team. I think that I bring a lot to the table, and I feel like if I were to leave, I'd be letting my clients down. That's probably the biggest thing, because I know that there would be no one else really that could replace and know the infrastructure that I've kind of put in place for them.
No, that's not true. If you do a good job of exiting and you lay out the infrastructure, you tell your current leader what you've done, how you've done it, you lay it out, you explain it all. You help the customer know you are absolutely replaceable. And I'm not trying to take anything away from you right now. I am not in any way. Don't hear me say, Carol, that your value isn't as high as you believe it is. It is. But you are not irreplaceable. No one is. And I'm telling you that because that'll help you get over the fact that you're letting somebody down by doing what's best for you. Because here's what'll happen. If that becomes the anchor by which you stay, you go, well, I can't leave because I'd just be a big jerk to my clients. You're going to end up resenting them.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Oh, I know it's true. So you know what's really going on? I think you're afraid of what someone might think about you or say about you. And that's what's keeping you from considering fully of why you should move on. Because you're going, well, the downside is I got a good team here. They count on me, the customers. You know what this is all boiling down to? You're afraid of what someone might think about you or say about you, and you can't control that.
I'm also just thinking about if pay is really the main reason. And
it's not. And I tell people all the time on the show, you've listened to me enough to say that it's not always about pay. In fact, pay should never be the primary focus. So I wrote a book called From Paycheck to Purpose. I want you to have a great paycheck, but paycheck should never be the deciding factor. So that's up to you. I think I've coached you through what you need to be considering. My point is that the reasons for you not leaving aren't good enough. So you got to decide. And I believe you'll make the right decision. Thanks for calling. This is the Ken Coleman Show. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we're rocking along here on the Ken Coleman Show. Why? Because we got the juice. You're going, okay, I'm not sure what show I'm listening to here. What does he mean by the juice? The juice is where you're working on purpose and you just have this, it's just this glow, it's an energy, an enthusiasm, and it's been called flow. He recently passed away, Joe. Did I tell you this? Yeah, Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, longtime psychologist who spent over 30 years studying this idea of ecstasy at work. Like, can you experience what we know as ecstasy, which is an emotional high? That's the juice. And you just know it when somebody's got it. And we've got it here on the show. You know why we've got it? Because we give it away. We give it away. That's where we need the old, what's that song by Red Hot Chili Peppers? Give it away, give it away, give it away now.
Exactly.
That's us. We give away the juice, Amanda. We've got an unlimited supply of juice. And it comes from knowing your purpose at work, where you know what you're good at, talent, you know what work you love to do, passion, and you know what results you want to produce through your work. That's mission. Oh, yeah, when you're using what you do best to do what you love to produce results that matter to you, you've got the juice. Come on, 844-747-2577. All right, we're staying here in our backyard, Nashville, Tennessee. James joins us now. James, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm living the dream, James. What's going on?
I got a question real quick. I kind of know what I want out of a job. But I'm not sure where to go to look for it, what field and everything.
Okay.
I've got a bachelor's degree in science, plant and soil science, with a focus in landscape management. And since I was 16, I've done landscaping. And I'm starting to get to the point where I'm not sure that that's for me, even though I've got a degree for it. I'm kind of looking for something else.
Okay. So you have an idea. So forget about job title. Just tell me what you would be doing during the day.
Well, see, that's what I'm not real sure about. I got a couple of things that I'm looking for in a job. I've kind of scratched my brain.
Tell me that.
I'm looking for some sort of problem solving, maybe some sort of leadership potentially. I've done that, and I like it. I like working with my hands, but I'd like something that has some office work involved with it as well. I like talking to people, one-on-one customers, but I like being knowledgeable about my product, talking to them, helping them through problems, stuff like that. Project oriented. I like to see success. I'm very driven by results. Mostly I don't like the cold.
All right.
So that's a big turn off.
All right. So I got to tell you, this is great. This is great because you know what you've got here? You've described a whole bunch of what you'd like to do, and you're just getting hung up on where do I look at that? Where do I find that? And I think that's really.
Exactly.
Yeah. But here's the deal. Let's throw out for just a moment. We're not throwing it away. We're just going to move it off. Let's move problem-solving leadership, some office work, project-oriented. Let's just remove that. Because I think the two things are going to allow you to see where to look are working with my hands, connecting with customers. I think those are the two most specific clues to where we're looking. You tracking with me yet? You caught up to me yet? I think you're already caught up to me. So, because here's what's interesting. Working with your hands and connecting directly with customers. You had that in landscaping, some of it. And so we go, well, this isn't going to be some like, we're not like, this isn't some new universe. I think it's going to be close, but obviously different. So, you like working with your hands. Be more specific because I talk about passion as being work you love. So what work with your hands do you love doing besides landscaping?
I like a lot of tinkering, something that I can see results from when I'm done, something tangible where I can step back and say, wow, I did that.
Right. Be more specific. You already know the answer. You're just not telling me. There's no way you describe that to me and you don't have visual images. I wish I could have your brain on a monitor right now. What were you thinking of when you said tinkering?
I like mechanicking, maybe.
There we go. So I go a couple places. Let's just do big buckets for a moment. Mechanical or structural, meaning carpentry, building, designing is, you know, it's like putting stuff together with your hands. That's what I'm talking about. Is it building furniture? Is it fixing motors? Is it building computers? I don't know, but you do.
Right.
All right. So there's this element of, you like working outside, but you don't want it to be cold. Well, that's, you're getting too hung up on that kind of stuff. That just means you're not going to be working in some northern state in the wintertime, right? So maybe you're in a southern state or a tropical state or something like that. You're getting too hung up on that kind of stuff. That will take care of itself. The issue is, what would you do all day, every day, tomorrow if you were just going to try it and you didn't have to commit to it? Working with your hands, connecting with customers. You're directly listening to them, to their problem, diagnosing it, fixing it yourself, telling them how you fixed it, blah, blah, blah. That's your juice, right?
Right, but that's where I'm hung up. I'm not sure where to go for that. I've spent hours online looking at job postings. And
are you serious right now? This is fascinating to me, James. Like, do you like working with mechanical stuff or building stuff more?
I like a mixture of both.
Okay. Okay. So which one would you choose, though, if you could only choose one? Because I think that's what's missing. But I want you to take a stab at it real quick, and I'll explain. If I told you right now I had the perfect job for you in Nashville, working with your hands, connecting with people, outdoors, you know, a good bit, but you got some clerical stuff, whatever. I mean, you've really gotten this thing dialed in here. And I think that's part of your problem. You're trying to find the exact perfect thing instead of looking in areas where all the potential ideal things could be. So choose right now. If I give you either one today, but you had to choose, which one do you choose? Mechanical or more carpentry type, building type stuff?
Probably more bigger project, larger scale. Something that takes more time to develop.
Okay, so is that on the construction side or mechanical side?
That'd be more construction, probably.
That's what I thought. And you know what's interesting? You just answered where I was going to take you next. Because one of the things that we want to bring back into this list was the problem solving and the leadership element. And you also mentioned project oriented. So I want to know now, what problems do you get most excited about solving?
That's a good question.
I know. That's why I asked it. By the way, you got to answer it because you know. Just say it.
Right.
Leadership is the clue.
Problems that I enjoy solving.
Can I suggest to you, because I think you're struggling, and I think I know the answer, you tell me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a mixture of people and process problems. Because when there's a process problem, here's what I can tell you from a leadership standpoint. There's always a person involved. Am I right?
Well, something I've noticed is when there's a problem, majority of anything I've ever done, it's going to be the communication skills.
That's exactly
right. So a lot of the times it's going to be due to ironing those out.
That's exactly right.
So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
I got to tell you, my man, you know what's flashing across my brain right now?
What you got?
I think you're getting into commercial and residential construction. You could go either way. You could do both. And I think you ultimately are a project manager for a construction company. Maybe you move on and eventually own your own company where you're the contractor. But it brings in leadership. It brings in the customer interaction. It brings in the problem solving from a people process standpoint. And it's extremely about the next thing. I got to nail this project. We fill it to completion. And now we move on to the next.
Right. Me and I've got a twin brother, and he got his degree in business administrations. And throughout high school, we talked about starting a landscape company together.
Well,
and I'm moving off to Virginia, and he's staying back here. And so that's kind of gone away.
Well, again, whether it's landscaping or construction, you said landscaping wasn't your jam anymore, but maybe it was because you're not in a leadership role. Maybe you want to get off the shovel a little bit and get more in the leadership game. But I'm telling you, those things are right there in front of you. Stop overthinking this and start moving forward. You've got this. You're built for this. Hey, my time's almost up, but you matter, and you do have what it takes. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.